Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan podcast. I'm Mary, and it's my pleasure on this Friday, June 2nd, to welcome a guest to the podcast. Today we have a reading for us, Lucas Durham. Lucas is my cousin who has come to visit us from Fredericksburg, Virginia. He and I both grew up in Calpin, South Carolina. In fact, I was in the 12th grade when Lucas was born. He's 26 years old. He's a young professional and someone who loves the Lord, so I can't wait for you to hear his story of life and faith at the end. Thank you, Lucas, for joining the podcast.
Thanks, Mary. Today, our passage comes from Habakkuk 2, and the title is Faith to Endure Judgment. I will stand at my watch and station myself on the ramparts. I will look to see what he will say to me and what answer I am to give to this complaint. Then the Lord replied, "Write down the revelation and make it plain on tablets so that a herald may run with it. For the revelation awaits an appointed time. It speaks of the end and will not prove false. Though it linger, wait for it. It certainly will come and will not delay. See, the enemy is puffed up. His desires are not upright. But the righteous person will live by his faithfulness. Indeed, wine betrays him. He is arrogant and never at rest. Because he is as greedy as the grave and like death is never satisfied, he gathers to himself all the nations and takes captive all the peoples. Will not all of them taunt him with ridicule and scorn, saying, 'Woe to him who piles up stolen goods and makes himself wealthy by extortion. How long must this go on? Will not your creditors suddenly arise? Will they not wake up and make you tremble? Then you will become their prey, because you have plundered many nations, and the peoples who are left will plunder you. For you have shed human blood. You have destroyed lands and cities and everyone in them. Woe to him who builds his house by unjust gain, setting his nest high to escape the clutches of ruin. You have plotted the ruin of many peoples, shaming your own house and forfeiting your life. The stones of the wall will cry out, and the beams of the woodwork will echo it. Woe to him who builds a city with bloodshed and establishes a town by injustice. Has not the Lord Almighty determined that the people's labor is only fuel for the fire, that the nations exhaust themselves for nothing? For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Woe to him who gives drink to his neighbors, pouring it from the wineskin till they are drunk, so that he can gaze on their naked bodies. You will be filled with shame instead of glory. Now it is your turn. Drink and let your nakedness be exposed. The cup from the Lord's right hand is coming around to you, and disgrace will cover your glory. The violence you have done to Lebanon will overwhelm you, and your destruction of animals will terrify you, for you have shed human blood. You have destroyed lands and cities and everyone in them. Of what value is an idol carved by a craftsman, or an image that teaches lies? For the one who makes it trusts in his own creation. He makes idols that cannot speak. Woe to him who says to wood, 'Come to life,' or to the lifeless stone, 'Wake up.' Can it give guidance? It is covered with gold and silver. There is no breath in it. The Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth be silent before him." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thank you so much, Luke, for joining the podcast. I want everyone who listens to hear a little bit about you. So tell us where you grew up, maybe a little bit about your family, and then how we're connected.
For sure. Thanks, Mary. I grew up in a small town called Calpin, South Carolina, with my mom, Kim, and my dad, Rick, brother, Jacob. My mom is one of seven, and one of my mom's siblings is your mom, Judy.
Yes, and so Luke and I were really close when he was little. And so after high school, Luke, what did you do? Did you go off to college?
I did. I went to Clemson University.
Okay.
Studying computer science.
Computer science. And then what profession did you decide on?
I'm currently a programmer or a computer scientist, which is a fancy word for that. And I work in Virginia.
But now, as a part of your job, you get to go into some of the schools, right? That's such an interesting part. Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, I do. So it's basically called the STEM program with my work. And we go into the local school districts and try to promote science, technology, engineering, and math. and just try to get students and children encouraged and to pursue STEM careers.
Tell me a little bit about your personality. Did you always know that you wanted to have a career in science and math?
Yeah, I think 12th grade in high school, I really loved math and I really loved English. I took AP of both and wanted to either be like a journalist of some type or maybe a computer scientist. I like computers. I didn't really know what computer science meant at that point. And I think that programming and creating computer software is a really good mixture of math and English at once. You have to know a lot of syntax. You have to know how, you know, sentence structures work, you know, for computers, for lack of a better word. Yeah, I've always been good at math and science, but I've always loved English as well. Like to write poetry as a kid too, which is weird.
Oh, wow. What kind of media are you interested in? Do you like podcasts or movies or books?
Mainly books these days. I have a monthly reading goal of 1,000 pages a month, and I'm on track so far. So,
is there a book that you are currently reading that you might commend to us?
Currently reading, I just finished one. The book that I've read most recently that I recommend is Abba's Child by Brennan Manning. So the book focuses primarily on finding an identity in Christ as opposed to our general tendency to try to find an identity apart from Christ in order to make ourselves worthy of Christ's love. And that really touched me.
Speaking of loving the Lord, I want to hear a little bit of your story of coming to faith.
So I grew up in the church, in the same church you grew up in. And I was exposed to Jesus during, you know, the first 18 years of my life. I don't think I came to know Jesus and to experience a life with him until I was about 21. Basically graduating college, getting a new job, moving to a new state. A lot of change, a lot of disruption of normal activities in my life. Ended up bringing me down to my knees on, it was probably sometime in April 2018. And it was awesome. I was a few weeks away from graduating college, and I just remember sobbing into my bed as a college student. Just a lot of things were changing, but, you know, God reaches you in that time.
And so since you've been in Virginia, tell me about seeking out community with faith and how the Lord has helped you in this journey.
Yeah, the Lord has been very faithful with that. Before I even moved to Virginia, I actually reached out to the Young Life coordinator there and asked, like, I just want to invest myself into the local community. And that's really how I met a lot of my friends currently and was planted into a new church. I only did Young Life for one semester there, but I think that that seed really just grew in other ways. The church that I'm at currently is called Common Ground Church in Fredericksburg. And a lot of my friends go there, and the church has been great for me. It's very unlike any church I've ever been to and not something that I expected that I would stay at. When I first visited, I was like, I've got no idea what's going on here. This is not the Baptist church I was used to going to as a kid.
Because they are liturgical or why?
Very much so. A lot of call and response. There's a lot of purpose behind the things that we do in the service every week. We, you know, take communion every week. We have a lot of like traditional things that kind of scared me the first time I went, honestly. But it's been great for me. I love it now. I wouldn't want to change it now. But.
Is there a part of the liturgy that you appreciate that you would share with us?
For sure. We sing the doxology over the children every week, and that's a very simple thing. I mean, we did it today. We're recording on Sunday at this church. But that's something that's kind of grown near and dear to my heart. Just a cappella singing the doxology is so beautiful. It's hard to replace that.
I was surprised to hear that Luke also listens to our sermon podcast almost weekly, and he said that he had listened to all of the Sermon on the Mount series. So I wanted him to comment a little bit about that, that even though he's in Fredericksburg, this has been a ministry to him.
Yeah, definitely. At the time, it was earlier in the year, I was reading The Cost of Discipleship by Dietrich Bonhoeffer, and one of the passages that he'd written on about the Sermon on the Mount got me interested in, you know, learning more about it and seeing, you know, more modern takes. So at good timing, Mountain Brook Baptist Church was going through the Sermon on the Mount as well, kind of verse by verse. So I've been listening to it since then.
A few other things that I want to talk about are just some things that I find interesting about your life. Luke is a pescatarian. Now, he's been a vegan and a vegetarian. Tell me a little bit about that process.
I like to give things up, and I like to, you know, push the boundaries of, you know, life in general. So, you know, hey, can I, it all started with like, hey, I wonder if I can do this for a month. And then I was like, I wonder if I can do this for a year.
Meaning give up certain foods?
Yeah, give up certain things. And food is one of those things that's kind of easy to test yourself with. And then now I'm kind of going the opposite way. So I'm saying like, what if I eat fish for a year? Well, how will I feel? And the majority of it comes from just wanting my body to operate at a good level when I'm running.
We've had a lot of conversation about pescatarian and vegetarian, and it's interesting. You didn't give up meat because you think it's a bad thing to eat or anything like that. Talk to me a little bit about your process of thinking.
Yeah, I do think quite a few people give up something like food or meat, whatever it may be, because they read some article that says, hey, this is bad for me, I shouldn't eat it. While sometimes that could be true, I do firmly believe that different diets work for everyone, and meat tastes good. I think it tastes good still. And I do think that, you know, certain people could benefit from maybe not eating as much of it. And I also think that certain people are going to need to eat it for the rest of their life to, you know, fully function like they want to. So I'm not the person that's going to tell you, you must do it my way, because I'm right all the time.
Okay, here's another interesting fact about Luke. He has a dumb phone. If you don't know what I'm talking about, Google it. We all have smartphones, but Luke has decided to give that up for a while. Tell me about the process of going from a smartphone to a dumb phone and maybe some of the reasoning behind it.
I think it links back to how I like to give things up and just how I can test myself to see if I can do without certain things that I thought I maybe couldn't. So I've given up TV previously. Now I have a TV again. You know, once I prove it to myself that I can do without it, I might get it back occasionally. I think that it's good to practice discipline. And I feel like in general, I've been blessed with, you know, a willpower that is testable. And it's fun for me to try to test it. So that's how I ended up with a dumb phone. Basically just trying to get rid of distractions, read more books. And it kind of went hand in hand with the reading goal that I have now.
What are the frustrations with a dumb phone? Why would you want a smartphone?
I think not having a GPS is frustrating sometimes. It can be scary if you're in a place where you're not very familiar with. And also the lack of music is somewhat disheartening sometimes. So I've had it for probably 2.5 years now. So I'm actually kind of on the, maybe next week I might get a smartphone again just to have Spotify for a little while.
How does your love for discipline show itself in your spiritual life? What are some of the disciplines that you have taken on or ways that you connect with the Lord?
Yeah, so it looks different every year for me because I like to, you know, change it up and try to be disciplined in different ways each year. Previously, I've done, you know, the whole Bible in January, like from January 1 to the end of January, reading through the whole thing. And that's like 40 pages a day, and it's a lot.
That's intense.
These days, I'm doing the one-year Bible alongside The God of Our Story, which is actually a book that your dad recommended to me when I went to see them. So that's been great. So just a daily, just plain and simple daily Bible time. And also making it a point to go to church every Sunday. You know, that's something as simple as like, I know God wants me here and I know this is what's best. And some Sundays you just don't want to go, but it's like, look, I'm going this Sunday. You know, this is what's for me. And this, I'd be reading the Bible the same way.
Well, you know, as my cousin, I want everybody to hear kind of the positive sides of you, the things I think are so neat. But I know that even discipline can have a downside. So when you're trying to be so disciplined in these areas, like what's the downside of it?
I do think while discipline is a good thing, it kind of teeter totters on the line of obsession a lot of the time for me. And I think having good things that you want to achieve every day is great. Sometimes when I don't achieve those things in certain orders, or if I let myself down over, you know, weeks of time, it really can kind of take a mental toll on me. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, I need to do these things. I need to catch up. I must, you know, et cetera. And I do think that is, there are large negative consequences to trying to embody discipline.
Has the Lord met you in that place where, okay, you didn't read your Bible for 3 or 4 days? I mean, how do you process that? And where is grace in that story?
Yeah. I think something I've been learning this year in particular is just being able to give up the expectation when need be. You know, obviously it's great to have goals and it's great to want to pursue the Lord, you know, regularly. But I think the second that that discipline becomes, you know, a checkbox or a mandatory thing that you feel like you have to do, you know, sometimes you can kind of take the whole communion with God out of it. It's like, I just read my Bible because I have to, not because I want to. Sometimes it's better for me to step back and just try to reflect and remember the reasons why I wanted to do this anyway. You know, why did I want to read my Bible every day? Why did I want to go to church every Sunday? And the core reason for that is to be closer to the Lord, not to check a box.
Do you have a favorite verse of scripture?
I do, yeah. And it comes from Joseph's story, and it's Genesis 50:20.
Will you read it for us?
It says, "You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives." And I like this verse because you see Joseph go through hardship after hardship and go through things that would be hard to forgive others for putting you through. And his response to his brothers who have put him through those hardships is, you know, "You intended to harm me, but God meant this for good," so he doesn't hold it against them. I think there's a lot of good to that.
Luke, thank you for joining the podcast. Would you end our time together with prayer?
Absolutely. Dear Lord, thanks for this day. Thanks for this podcast. Thanks for your book to read and to learn from, Lord. We ask for wisdom. We ask for patience. And we ask for a mind like your son, Jesus. Thank you for Mountain Brook Baptist Church and all that it means to me. We ask these things in your son, Jesus' name. Amen.